We're teaching on the subject of faith works. And so we've been putting together this piece of the puzzle. Every time we teach a part, it's a piece of the puzzle. So we're teaching on the obedience of faith. Pardon me, the obedience of faith. And last week, we communicated to you in this all review, we communicated to you the importance of our obedience to God. That one day, all of us, every believer, will have to stand front and center before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account of the things that we did in our body, okay? And we discovered that God requires of us faithfulness. God requires of faithfulness, which implies that it's important for us to know what our assignment is in the earth. OK, so we began to talk about obedience and we talked about seven general principles of obedience. Now, you're not going to have time to write these down because we taught this last week. It should be online, but I just want to review. We said that there are seven general principles of obedience. Number one, obedience is a willingness to leave our comfort zone. Number two, God requires obedience, not perfection. Number three, partial obedience equals disobedience. Number four, delayed obedience equals delayed manifestation. Number five, it is always easier to obey our flesh rather than God. Number six, if we are willing to walk alone, then God will give us others to walk with us. And then number seven, you're never too old to begin to follow God's plan for your life. Last week, you did a wonderful job. So put your hands together, clap your hands. You did. We asked you what that meant to you, and you did just an amazing job. And I left impressed with you, and we didn't get any farther than our introduction. Okay. Now, before we get into the main subject, Abraham is our example tonight. He's our example of a man of God who obeyed God. But listen carefully at this. Obedience is not perfection. Okay? God requires obedience, but he does not require perfection. Now, when we look at Abraham's life, I'll give you a little overview of his life. He made some mistakes, but God considered him an obedient person. Now, when God instructed him to leave his family, we're going to see that in a moment, he didn't leave everybody. He brought some people along with him, and brought Lot along with him, and it caused some problems down the road. He also, when he got into the land of promise, it was a famine there. And he went down to Egypt to get away from the famine, and he was afraid that Pharaoh was going to take his wife and kill him because Sarah was fine. She was beautiful. And so he told Sarah to lie and that you my sister. So he made another mistake. They were in Canaan 10 years and the baby hadn't showed up that God had promised. So Sarah came up with this bright idea about Abraham having sexual intercourse with her handmaid to have a child. That was an Ishmael. That was a mistake. And then he made another mistake over in Gerar, over in the 20th chapter of Genesis. He didn't learn from the first lie he told. So he ended up telling another lie to protect his own skin. And, you know, Abraham was not perfect. Come on, say it was not perfect. Okay, so as we talk about obedience, and I'm going to give you three laws of obedience, it's going to really be a blessing. In fact, I wish that I had known this when I first got saved. What I'm going to teach you tonight, I wish I had known when I first got saved. Also, I wish I had known this when I got first called into the ministry. It would have been a great difference. So it's going to be a great blessing to you. I'm going to teach you three laws of obedience. How many?
Three
laws of obedience. In order to get through the lesson quickly, you ain't going to have to turn in your Bibles. We're going to put it up on the monitor. There are going to be three laws of obedience. But before we do that, let's look at the general thing. OK, look at Genesis chapter 12. Let's look at the context and then we're going to come back. It says, now the Lord has said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curse thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And so Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go to the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. OK, that's the overview of the call. Now, let's look at Exodus. Pardon me. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 11. And I believe it's verse 8. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. By faith, and this is the verse that we're going to be dissecting tonight. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, he obeyed and he went out not knowing whether he went. Okay, now, three laws of obedience. How many? Okay, I'm going to give you the proof text because we're going to go back and we're going to dissect this verse. We're going to put the dissected part of the verse. You can put it up there, the dissected part of the verse. And then I'm going to give you the law, and then I'm going to give you some principles. And then we're going to go to another part of the verse. We're going to dissect it, and then we're going to go give you some principles. Three laws of obedience. Say three laws. There are three laws of obedience. Now, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. Now, we get ready for the first law. It says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called. Now, look at that. Let's read that together. By faith, Abraham, when he was called. Now, three laws of obedience. Here's the first law of obedience. The first law of obedience is receiving and acknowledging a genuine call of God. Receiving and acknowledging a genuine call of God. This is the first law of obedience. Receiving and acknowledging a genuine call of God. There are three parts to this now. Receiving, acknowledging a genuine call of God. Now, let's talk about this. Let's dissect this first law. Receiving and acknowledging a genuine call from God is the first law of obeying God. So let's talk first about a call. What is a call? A call is a personal divine encounter with God when somewhere God intervenes in the affairs of your life and sovereignly calls you into some realm of service. Now, I'm going to say it again because that's a mouthful, isn't it? Right. Y'all be mad at me if I didn't go back over it, wouldn't you? Okay. Now, listen. Let's talk about a call. What is a call? A call is a personal divine encounter with God when somewhere he intervenes in the affairs of your life and sovereignly calls you to some realm of service. Now, if you didn't get it, I'm going to break it down for you for just a moment. Now, we're talking about a call of God. Now, every Christian is called by God. Every Christian is given an assignment. And one day you're going to have to stand front and center and give account of that assignment, that purpose that God has ordained before the foundation of the world. So a call now involves, watch this, a personal divine encounter with God. It's personal. So nobody can match or nobody can compare what they're called to do to anybody else. And how we're called are different. We're called different. God does not call us all the same. When you look in scripture, he calls some people through a vision. He calls some people through a dream. He calls some people through a prophet or prophetic utterances. So God has a lot of different ways to call us. Now, the reason why many people do not fulfill the call of God on their lives is they try to put God in a box. They try to put God in a box. And God will not allow us to put him in a box. He calls us in a personal way. Somebody, give me your name. Ronald. Okay. If I say, watch this. We're talking about the call. If I say, Ronald.
Yes.
Okay. Now, Ronald heard me, right? And he knew I called him. Now, it may vary how he calls you, but you will know that he called you. Okay? And you don't have to ask anybody. And you don't have to ask, because if you ask people, you're going to end up making a mistake. It's a personal divine encounter where God, watch this, where God intervenes in the affairs of your life. Oftentimes you're just going on about your business and God intervenes in the affairs of your life and he lets you know that there's something that he wants you to do. He calls you to some realm of service. Now, traditionally and historically, we thought every call was a pulpit. Okay, so we said, well, you know, I'm not called to be a preacher. I'm not called to be a reverend. So we've always thought that every time God called somebody, it was to stand behind a pulpit. But can you imagine God trying to get all Christians behind a pulpit? That would be kind of challenging. Okay, there are seven. Now, I'm going to move real fast because I got three things to cover. Okay, there are seven realms or what some people call mountains of influence. Religion. So some people are called to function in that religious capacity. Number two, family. Some people are actually called to their families. Now, my mother that raised me, I believe with all my heart that her assignment in this earth was to raise me. Some people are called to family. Number three, some people are called to education. Now, the reason why some people are in education and frustrated is because they weren't called to it. Or they were called by their parents or they were called by somebody else. But there are teachers and educators who have a call on their life. Now, watch this. I'm going to be moving real fast. Right there is my God, brother and God, sister. That's Deborah and Connie Blaylock. We're family, but they've been in the church for 30 years. Okay. They came down here today. Their daughter, my goddaughter, is a teacher. She's a elementary school teacher. She's 20, how old? 20? 26. And I told her one time, you've been teaching all your life. She would come over the house as a little girl, and she was teaching as a little girl. I remember walking one time about by the room she was in, and I heard her. She was just like, sit over there. I told you to sit down. Sit down. You know, get over there. You know, get over there. And I walked back and looked back, and not a soul was in there. She was teaching. She was teaching. She is fulfilling the purpose and the call of God on her life. It is unfortunate that many people live and die and they never fulfill the call. So some people are called to education. Some people are called to business. Some people are called to government. Some people are called into politics. Some people are called to media. Some people are called to arts and sports and education. But God calls all of us to influence wherever we're called to. We should be establishing the kingdom. It shouldn't be just we getting a salary or a paycheck, but we should be using our influence as salt and light to influence that arena. So every person has a call. Now watch this. The purpose of the call, let's talk about the purpose of the call, is a dual purpose. Whenever God calls you, it's a dual purpose. That purpose is he want to bless you, and he want to use you as a channel of blessing. That's what he said to Abraham. He said, I'm going to bless you and I'm going to make you a blessing. So whatever arena that I'm called to, you're called to, we're called to, we're called to. And whatever it is, don't fight it, because you're going to get blessed there. I didn't want to be a minister, but I'm walking in a blessing that I never would experience outside of this call. So wherever God calls you, he's going to bless you, and then he's going to use you as a channel of blessing. So we see what the call is. We see the purpose of the call. Now listen at this. Evidence. Whenever God calls you to an arena, there will always be evidence. Say evidence.
Evidence.
Say evidence.
Evidence.
There are four realms of evidence you look for in that call. Number one, gifting. Spiritual equipment or the ability to carry it out. Wherever it is, whatever arena that God calls you to, you will have the capacity, the gifting, the equipment, the ability to carry that out. So if you're frustrated and you're not getting anything done, you need to spend time with God to find out whether you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, because there's going to be gifting. There's going to be grace to endure. There's going to be what?
Grace.
Grace to endure. In other words, the capacity to handle the pressure. Whatever he calls you to do, he will give you the grace to endure. So my wife said that she don't know we're in this together, but she said, I don't know how you could do what you do. You know, I can't, watch this, I don't feel the kind of pressure that some other folk feel. Even though there's a lot of responsibility, because wherever God calls you, watch this, he give you the grace or the capacity to endure. Then favor. If God calls you to something, he's going to always give people that are willing to help you. If you're in an arena and nobody want to help you, and nobody, you need to be asking the question. And then fourthly, productivity. Productivity. Now I'm moving kind of fast. I'm moving kind of fast, but that's the first law. That is the first law of obedience. That law is receiving and acknowledging a genuine call of God. Now, listen. I want to close this law out by saying this. Watch this. Receiving and acknowledging. Got it? Now, listen carefully. Just because you're called don't mean you ever walk in it. You have to receive it. You have to receive it. And guess what? God calls us multiple times. I tell people that I was called when I was in law school, but when I look back, I was called way before law school. I remember sitting in a Methodist church in Wylam, and the preacher was preaching. He was talking about Moses. I heard God talking to me. I was a freshman down at Tuskegee, and sitting back in the back of the church, not even born again. I'm sitting back in the back of the, we're in the back of the church because I've been raised up in the church. And the minister stood up in this Baptist church and said, somebody back there in that back row, you're going to preach one day. Everybody on the back row looking around. And then finally, God called me when I was in law school. So you, even though he calls you, you have to acknowledge it. If you don't receive it, you can live and die and never fulfill the purpose of God on your life. You'll never fulfill it. You'll never fulfill it. You'll never fulfill it. Okay, you ready for the second law? Now, here's the second law. Let's look at the proof text. Look at the proof text. And we're going to amplify on that. The Bible says he obeyed. When he was called, he did what?
He obeyed
and he went out. Now, here's the second law of obedience. Having a willingness to go. Now, let's talk about that.
Having a willingness to go.
That's the second law of obedience. Now let's talk about that. A willingness implies an inward decision to leave where you are. It implies when God called Abraham He had to be willing to leave. He had to what? Now, listen at this. There's something that's unique about humans that made them different from the animal kingdom, and that is free will. Free will is our capacity to say yes to things, no to things, yes to people, no to people, but it's our capacity to say yes to God or no to God. There has to be a willingness to go. God can call you forever, but He'll never force you. He'll never force you. And you can live and die and never fulfill the purpose and plan of God for your life. So there has to be an inward decision to leave. Now listen at this. Everyone has to leave someone or something to follow God's plan. Abraham had to leave someone, and he has to leave some things. Now, this, at some point in your life, you're going to remember my voice. Everyone, now we're talking about this willingness to go, everyone has to leave someone or something to follow God's plan. You're never going to follow God's plan if you're not willing to leave someone or something. Someone or what? Something. Now, it may be relationships, maybe friends. In Abraham's case, it was family. It may be environment. It may be geographical. In Abraham's case, it was geographical. He had to be willing to leave the Ur of Chaldees and go to Canaan. So in some cases, it's religion and belief system. In some cases, it's a career pursuit. In my case, I was pursuing law. I was in law school when I was called. To fulfill the purpose and plan of God on my life, I had to leave that. I had to leave that. For others, it may be an ambition that we have. For others, it may be a sin or a habit. To fulfill God's plan, we have to be willing to leave someone or something. Now listen at this statement. God cannot lead us into new ways until we're willing to leave the old. Did you get that? We're still talking about this second law, a willingness to go. Obedience to God's plan requires this heavy stuff. Obedience to God's plan requires that we make hard choices. Make some hard choices. And Abraham was willing, but the choices he had to make, because God says, I want you to leave your country now. I want you to leave your kindred. And it was hard. Watch now. God doesn't require perfection, but He do require obedience. And when our heart is right, sometimes we make mistakes. So, because it was so hard, he had his nephew and his brother had died, and so he rationalized, now somebody got to take care of him. You know, that's my brother's child. So in his heart, it was a hard choice to leave Lot. To follow God's plan for your life. And see, most people say, yeah, I want to do what God wants me to do. Yeah, I want to do what God. Speak to me, Lord. Speak to me. But to follow God's plan requires some hard choices. Obedience requires separation. You will never be separated unto God until you're separated from things that oppose God. Some of these obstacles and some of these obstacles that we face. This serious stuff here. The obstacles we face is sometimes emotional ties. Sometimes when God spoke to me to lead the first church that I pastored, he spoke to me to lead the first church that I pastored. And man, it was tough, man. It was tough because I had become emotionally connected to those people. I become emotional. So sometimes it's emotional ties. Sometimes it's our personal sense of inadequacy. God calls us to do things. And then when we look at ourselves, we say, man, I can't do that. How am I going to do that? You know, I can't do that. But see, God calls us sometimes to do things that we don't feel we can do because he wants to demonstrate his power through us so that he can get all the glory. Sometimes it's just the fear that I may fail. What if I go down to Columbus and what if it don't work? What if I go to Columbus? What if I come down here and it don't work? What would the people think? What would the people think? Sometimes it's the fear. We're afraid that we'll fail. We'll pray. It just won't work. See, it may not work. So we play it safe. And we never really do anything outstanding because we always want to play it safe. Now, listen carefully. Sometimes the obstacle, listen carefully at this, is the myth of security. Say that. See, sometimes God will call us to do something, but we say, wow, no. We say, no, I can't do that because, man, I got a pension. And then I got to get my retirement. I'm talking real life stuff. I've seen people that will call to something. You know, I'm glad y'all came. I'll use y'all the illustration today. Both of those individuals, both of them, their husband and wives, they've been a member of our church for 30 years and they work with Internal Revenue Service. They've been working for Internal Revenue Service how long?
Right at 20 years?
20 years, okay. And then God called them to Faith Chapel. And they going to leave something where they been working for 20 years and go to something that ain't really got a whole lot going on. In other words, from a natural standpoint, our church was not developed. Deborah was the third person that came into full-time ministry. We ain't have no big congregation. We ain't have a whole lot of money. But the myth of security is that I'm more secure here. You're never secure outside of God's will. See, we think, okay, I've been doing this, so I got security. But God is calling me to do this. So we say, no, I got security over here. But that's a myth. Because if God wants you here over here and you over here, you don't have true security. It just look like security. And that's where a lot of times people don't follow God because they want to be secure. They want security, but security is in God's will. Security is in God's plan for your life. Security is not in a job. Security is not in education. Security is not where you always been raised up. Security is where God wants you to be. Does that make sense to anybody? And that's tough, y'all. But watch this. If we're willing to obey him, he'll even allow us to make some mistakes like Abraham. Because he know it requires some difficult, hard choices. So he'll let us make some mistakes. Lord spoke to me about starting a church in Livingston. Man, I had never been to Livingston. I didn't know where Livingston was. It's over 100 miles from Birmingham. I didn't know where Livingston was. Man, I struggled with that. How am I going to Livingston? How am I going to Livingston? How am I going to do that? I can't do that. I did that for over 2 years, but my heart was right. So God allowed me. He was long-suffering with me because he understands the decisions that we make oftentimes go against our natural way of thinking. So he doesn't require us to be perfect, but he does require us to be obedient. Now, write this down, and then we're going to go to the third law. Write this down and we're going to go to the third law. God will never ask you to give up, sacrifice, or leave something without replacing it with something better.
Hallelujah.
You write that and you laminate that. You put that on your computer, put that on your iPhone, put that somewhere. God will never ask you to give up, sacrifice, or leave something without replacing it with something better. Let's look at the third law. Let's close out with this third law. I give you the text. Bible says that he went out not knowing whether he went. Now, I want you to listen to this one. Scripture says he went out, and some translation says he went out not knowing where he was going. Now, Corey, go back to Genesis 12. I'm going to show you something, and then I'm going to give you some insight, and you'll see why sometimes we don't fully obey God because we don't understand how he leads us. And I'm going to reveal that secret to you, okay? Now, look at this text. How many ever seen this text before? The Lord said to Abraham, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land. Now look at this, a land. I'm going to say it different. I'll show you later.
Okay.
I'll show. He said, I want you to leave, and then I'll show you later where you're going. Did that make sense to you? Did that make sense to you? So now look at this third law, and we'll close here. The third law of obedience is demonstrating a confident trust in God. Demonstrating what?
Confident trust in God.
Now let me ask you a question. Just me and you talking, okay? Just me and you talking. How many of you trust God? Let me see your hand. Okay, now I want you to stand if you trust God. Stand if you trust God. Okay. Now, as far as I can see, that's everybody. And that's it. Okay. Now, let's discover what that really means. Okay? In the context of Abraham, in the context of us, what does demonstrating a trust mean? I'm going to give you some principles, three. Trusting God means a willingness to follow God's instructions one step at a time. A willingness to follow what?
God's instructions one step at a time.
Say it again. What does it mean?
A willingness to follow God's instructions one step at a time.
What does it mean?
A willingness to follow God's instructions one step at a time.
Now listen at this. Listen carefully. Listen carefully. Listen carefully. Listen carefully. God often gives us instructions on a need to know basis, one step at a time. He gives us the instructions on a what?
Need to know basis.
One step at a time. Okay, now, here's where people miss it. Here's where people miss it. Here's where people miss it. They want the whole thing. they want all the steps. Right? Don't give me one step, give me all the steps. Now, go back to Genesis and I'll look at 12 verse 1. I'm going to show you, I want to expound this verse to you. Now the Lord said to Abram, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, and from your father's house, to a land I'll tell you where it is later. Okay? So one step at a time, watch this. One step at a time, he's got to do something. He's got to separate himself from his family. He got to tell everybody, I'm leaving y'all. That's the first step. He He got to say, hey, Joe, Uncle Joe, hey, Mary Sue, hey, Lot, I've got to go. That's the first step. That's the first step. Now, he don't know where he's going. The next step is he got to leave. Now, he has no instructions. That's what the scripture says. He went out not knowing where he was going. He had no instructions. Now, watch this. If he hadn't have done the first step and then the second, he never would have found out where he was going. Right. Now let me show you how the Lord has directed me. Now, I know we're not all the same, but I'm going to show you how the Lord has directed me over the course of my life. Faith Chapel, the church in Birmingham, started out of a verse, a text. No vision, no dream. No prophet saying anything. I was in my quiet time. That's why I'm pushing you to have a quiet time. And I came across 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 20, 21. And God spoke to me. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. I've chosen you. Chosen you. And he said, I'm going to give you every willing, skillful laborer. That's all I had. Now, see, most people, they're in their quiet time, God talking to them, but they don't want that. They ain't satisfied with that. No, no, no. You got to give me a vision. You got to give me a dream. You got to give me something. You got to give me a prophet, That's all I had. That's all I had. So with that scripture, I stood up in front of my church, the first church I was pastoring. I said, the Lord has spoke to me. And that's all I had. I said, the Lord has spoke to me. And he going to build this church. And all I had was that. And I left that church with that. Nothing else. Nothing else. And stood up with a Bible in front of four people. Four people. Just four people. And all I had was that. I ain't have nothing about the rest of it. I ain't have no other instruction. I had nothing else. Just that. Now watch this. I was walking across my den one day. And I heard the Spirit of God said, Dome. Dome? That's all he said. That's all he said. That's all he said. Don't. One word. God gives us enough to get started. And if we don't take what he said in the beginning, and we got to have all this insight and all this wisdom and all this, what's going to, and everything going to happen, we'll never fulfill God's plan on his life. So at that point, we began to research domes. We started looking in on the computer to find out domes. Watch this. Then I took the dome. It was several different domes. I took it back to the Lord, and I said, Lord, is this kind of dome, this kind of dome, this kind of dome, this kind of dome? This kind of dome. And I heard the Spirit of God said monolithic, unconventional. It was one on the list. I ain't hear nothing else. I ain't hear nothing else. So now we know what kind. So now we've got to work toward that because that's all we got. Now we can't wait for nothing else. And then later I asked the Lord, I said, now, and I had a dream and I saw in the spirit where the Spirit of God says comfortably seat 3,000 people. So now I know from information, but I didn't get that at the beginning. All I got was dome. Then I said, Lord, how are we going to pay for it? He said, not bar. So now I got enough. Okay, that's all I got. 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 Spirit of God spoke to me. He speak to me in the night season, and I heard him say homeless. Homeless. See, here's the problem I have. I've had this because once I said what God said, everybody going to want to know details. Everybody want to know, okay, what we going to do, how we going to do it. And so, and I'd be like, I don't know. I don't have a clue about it. Cause see, God doesn't talk like that. He doesn't give you all these details. Now I believe in strategic plan. I know we got a plan, but I feel so uncomfortable because I don't know what to say to everybody. Listen, we started the homeless ministry with one word. That's all. Deborah been over there. That's all we had was one word, homeless. So we just started doing something. Because he doesn't give all that. He doesn't give all that. If you don't do anything with what he says, well, what about here? I was praying. I had some scriptures quicken over here. Didn't know nothing about coming down here. Never been down here, but I had some scriptures quick. So I had enough in me to say, yeah, I'm supposed to go. Because I said, God, I want to go down there if you ain't going to be down there with me. I just don't want to go down there if you ain't going to be down there with me. And so the Lord began to deal with me about certain things he was going to do just in the scripture. So I had enough confidence to come down here. We started the first Bible study. And here's what he said. Well, really, before we start the first Bible study, here's what he said. Start with something small. That's all I got. I don't got no details. I ain't got nothing else. Y'all want something else? I ain't got nothing else. We could chose over there. It was a bigger part sanctuary over there. Or we could charge over here. So he said, start with something small. So I chose the smallest area because that's what he said. We had the first Bible study. After he had the first Bible study, he said, wait on the harvest. That's all I got. I ain't got nothing else. Wait on the harvest. I ain't got nothing else. And so sometimes when you're walking by faith, everybody wants all these details. Like what he said, when he said, and what are we going to do? How are we going to do this? I don't know. Abraham didn't know. He had to do it. He had to do what he knew to do. He had no clue what that land was going to be about. He had no clue about he was going to raise up a great nation. He had no clue about he going to have Jacob and grandchildren. He had nothing. All he had was, I want you to separate from your family and I want you to leave. Watch this. And I'll tell you where you're going later. So now listen, the third law is demonstrating a confident trust in God. That is, number one, a willingness to follow God's instructions one step at a time. Secondly, a willingness to take bold steps without full or complete understanding. A willingness to take what?
Bold steps.
Without complete understanding or explanation. So how are we going to do it? Who, where, when, what will be answered later. And then thirdly, a willingness to detach ourselves from that which is familiar, comfortable, and provide us a sense of security. Willingness to detach themselves. That's what I'm doing with coming down here. That's what I'm doing. I'm more comfortable in Birmingham. I'm more comfortable at home. I'm less comfortable down here. I feel less secure down here. I feel more secure in Birmingham. You say, well, what are people? He said the harvest is coming. Amen. Yeah, but I see empty seats. Well, Abraham saw a famine. When he got there, it was a famine. All I know is all these seats going to be filled. And all I know is people going to come from far and near. And all I know is going to be 1,000 folks. That's all I know. I have nothing else. All he said was wait on the harvest. Now, if you get this, so the way I talk right today is not going to change. I'm going to give the best I got. The best I got, I don't care if it's 4 or 3 or 2, I'm going to give the best I got, the very best. When they sung the very best, they weren't saying no different if it was bigger.